Paranormal Radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, think about it, ladies and gentlemen, this week. The last space shuttle ever has gone aloft. It's up there as you hear this show. And people are now setting up petitions to restore the space program. What's your feeling about this, Chris?
Well, I'm really disappointed. I think when Barack Obama was on the campaign trail back in 2007, you know, he was making all the right noises in terms of manned space flight, getting us back on track in space, and here we are. Just, you know, another promise down the tubes. It's a change we can, like, lament over, I guess. It's really unfortunate that our man presence in space is starting to go the way of the dinosaurs, and I think we're in a retroactive period here in, you know, in terms of space flight. There's some question even NASA surviving all these budget crises that we're in, and that would really be unfortunate. I don't think the private sector has the money and, you know, I think the proper motivation to get us, transition us from a governmental space program to a private industry space program. I don't see any real impetus to do that. So I'm saddened by the whole thing, Gene.
Well, I'll tell you something here. Let's forget for the moment who occupies the White House. I don't think anybody in Washington has the stomach, has the spine, the titanium spine, to bring back the space program. You know, they're talking about, we got to cut this, we got to cut that, we got to put people out of work, whatever. Whatever you think about the politics, right or left, doesn't matter. Nobody has a vision for the space program. The last vision I heard of the space program was John F. Kennedy saying, we will land a man on the moon before 1970. And he didn't do it because he wanted to explore space. As I recall, he did it to beat the Russians.
Yeah, we need motivation. It's unfortunate that there's some estimates that we're going to be spending up to $6 trillion overseas, subjugating other countries and, instituting democracy all around the world at the point of a gun. And if we had even spent one-third of that money on the space program, just look where it could be right now. We could be, chugging our way in a few years to the moon, possibly to mine helium-3. Or some sort of manned mission to Mars, somewhere. I mean, we need motivation.
Chris, we have the technology in 1969 to send a man to the moon. How come we don't have that technology in 2011 or 2012? Why do we have to wait? And even then, we're not going back to the moon. According to the current plan, we're going to land on an asteroid. What's the reason for that? Why don't we go back to the moon?
I don't know. There's some conspiracy buffs out there that might say we were warned away. There's a movie coming out, I think. What's it called? Apollo 18, where they're going to fictionalize another Apollo mission that stumbles on, I think, some sort of spaceship or something on the moon that was there or crashed or something. The new Transformers, I think, has a sequence where they land on the moon, astronauts, and they find this huge spaceship and an alien and that sort of thing. We got to do something. I mean, our sun is going to go nova. We're going to get hit by an asteroid. Something calamitous will happen. It's not so much if it'll happen, it's when. And we need to get out and seed the stars. We need to get this gene pool off this rock spinning in space out into the cosmos. And it doesn't look like we're going to be doing it anytime soon.
Well, I'll tell you what I've done, okay, at the urging of Mrs. Steinberg. I'm going to link to one or more of the petitions out there to restore the space program. Like I said, forget about the politics. It doesn't matter. Liberal, conservative, middle of the road, independent, whatever you are. You like Obama, you hate Obama. You like one of the Republican candidates. You like Ron Paul. It doesn't matter. We need the space program. Think of all the stuff in our technology today that came out from the space program. And not Tang drinks, by the way.
Right. You know, steak in a tube.
Oh, I got to have steak in a tube. That's one of the great inventions. But think, basically everybody now has a supercomputer in their pocket. It can be an iPhone. It can be an Android phone. I think a third of the people in this country, in America, have. some kind of smartphone, containing technology and processor power dozens, hundreds of times more powerful than the onboard computers of the Apollo spaceships. We can't go back?
Sure, we can, but like you said, it all boils down to motivation and proper expenditure of money. I think this country is really down the river when it comes to, balancing our purse strings, and it's, I think we're going to have hell to pay if we don't start cutting money from where it needs to be cut, from ridiculously high defense budgets and expenditures. We have bases in 160 plus countries around the world. I mean, we need to take care of our own right now. We need to really kind of tighten it up, pull back a little bit from being the world's cop, and start spending money where it really is going to do the most benefit down the road. Your point is well taken about how this effort back in the 60s really helped jumpstart scientific innovation and inventions. And it's just, we should probably do a whole show on this at some point, because this is really a sad state of affairs, Gene.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've been talking with Don Ecker, and of course he also explores lunar mysteries. Don Ecker, of course, is the host of the Dark Matters radio show. He is a moderator in the PowerCast forums. He's my friend, a longtime friend, and a friend of the show. And there are two areas that he's been investigating. One, of course, is the situation regarding UFO researcher, paranormal researcher Philip Imbrogno, where we've already discovered, with the help of one of our listeners, who has basically come out and admitted who he is. His name is Lance Moody. He's a skeptic. But he's also somebody who is really trying to investigate and point out the flaws in our logic. And in this case, the flaw he found was that Philip Imbrogno's degrees don't pan out. And Don Ecker has been investigating this, too, and he'll have an answer and some more information soon on his show and ours. He'll also be coming on the PowerCast soon to talk about lunar mysteries. So what you talked about earlier and what we touched on, Chris, is it possible we went to the moon, one of those Apollo excursions, and someone or something on the moon said, "You are not welcome here. Don't come back"? What about that?
Well, we had David Hatcher Childress on the show, and he did bring up some other very interesting points. Some of the anomalies that are found on the moon, the Blair cuspids come to mind, obelisks that supposedly are on the moon that have been photographed and I think covered up. I think it's definitely worth a show. There's a lot of information out there concerning the moon that doesn't quite jibe with, the scientific paradigm in terms of what the moon actually is, why it's in the orbit it is, how come it's so perfectly positioned. It's almost the odds of this happening are pretty high, happening naturally. So, yeah, I think this would be a fun show. I'm looking forward to it.
That will be Don Ecker coming up in the future. But today, we're going to be talking about a guy who has a website called Truth Seeker at Roswell, Truth Seeker at Roswell, and he's Dennis Balthaser, and yes, he's a longtime Roswell researcher, also researches the mysteries of the Great Pyramid, but he's also very concerned about the tragic state of UFO research, and he had an editorial about that subject probably a year and a half or so ago, kind of lamenting over the fact that you have all these gatherings. You know what I'm talking about. This has happened over the years, Chris, where you have this gathering, you have a lot of serious scientific UFO researchers, and you have a few wackos in there. And I guess the wackos are brought in to maybe boost the box office. But is that a good way to present the face of the UFO field? And that's something that concerns Dennis.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to dig into this one pretty deeply. I was at the conference that I think actually inspired him to write his diatribe about the state of the conference system in ufology, and I think we're fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
And the guest is Dennis Balthaser. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. You're in
the Paracast.
Okay. So who is watching your home when you're not there? Help protect your home with a security system monitored by ADT. It's the leader in home security. Remember, ADT is the number one monitoring service in the country. It comes with world-famous ADT yard signs. The monitoring cost is just $1 a day. You probably pay more for coffee. This is the safety for your family and your possessions. You can save up to 20% on homeowners insurance. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer. Call now and get $850 of equipment and activation free. Call 1-866-778-3127. Call 1-866-778-3127. And here's our fast disclaimer. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement at $35 to $39 per month. Call for terms and conditions and license numbers.
Peter Krasnow from Midas Resources. Today is July 15th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $15.88. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16.27.92, $8.13.96 for a half ounce, and $4.06.98 for a quarter ounce. $16.27.92, $8.13.96, and $4.06.98.
The Constitution and Bill of Rights have been reduced to old relics politicians ignore and trample with their outlandish, overreaching policies. Your support for the Campaign for Liberty stands in the way of this insidious process. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I've teamed up with the Campaign for Liberty to offer the authentic proof quarter-ounce pure gold coin. For only $480 plus shipping and handling, Midas will donate $100 to this incredible organization. Help fight big government by ordering your gold coin at 800-686-2237. You get to win twice by owning gold and fighting an overreaching government. Call 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
You've heard a lot lately about zeolite, but what is it and why do you need it? Zeolite is a beautiful, complex, crystalline structure that encapsulates radiation and odors. ZeoKing Zeolite naturally eliminates radiation poisoning your body may pick up from X-rays, security scanners, or nuclear fallout. ZeoKing flushes environmental toxins absorbed from smoke, cell phones, and chemicals, so it detoxifies heavy metals including mercury, lead, and cadmium. ZeoKing Zeolite helps boost your immune system, allowing your body to balance itself and cut off food supply to cancer and parasites. Order your ZeoKing Zeolite now from ZeoKing.com for only $39.99 and receive a free month supply with every order. Call 888-402-6779. That's 888-402-6779. Or visit ZeoKing.com. That's ZeoKing.com for natural elimination of radiation poisoning.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we welcome back someone who has not been on the show for several years. And that's Dennis Balthaser, of course, somebody who's done a lot of work into Mysteries of the Great Pyramid, also into Roswell. But we brought you on in response to an editorial you did about the state of UFO events, conventions, etc., about the presence of the woo-woo element. Dennis, welcome back to the show. Tell us, what are you concerned about?
Thank you. It's been a while. I'm going to be 70 years old this October. I've been doing this professionally for the last 15 years, been interested in ufology for the last 20, 25 years, and I'm seeing a great influence of what I refer to as the woo-woos, card readers, chamas, and those kinds showing up at conferences that are supposed to be UFO-related conferences. And I think they probably deserve their own venue, but I don't think they should be mixed in with people like Stanton Friedman, John Greenwald Jr., Travis Walton, and the likes of those serious researchers and people. And I've got a great concern about that, and I'm looking at whether this may be my last year to do the research or not.
But isn't it true, Dennis, that this has been part and parcel of UFO conventions for years? I mean, let's go back to the days in the 60s and 70s when Jim Moseley was sponsoring UFO events in New York City. And he had a lot of serious people there because Jim, you know, when you get past the sardonic sense of humor, he's very serious about the subject, but he also had some wackos on there. This has been true for years. You've always had this element, and we're not saying that some of these paranormal claims are not relevant or valid. We're talking about people that are presenting the proper face for UFO research. This has been going on. It's nothing new.
That's true, but I think the existence of UFOs, whether it's when it's provable, will be done by scientific research or serious research, not by some card reader or some psychic or someone claims to have been abducted and been impregnated five or six times. What really kicked me was up at Angel Fire last year. I was master ceremonies for their conference, and I had people like Stanton and John Greenwald and Travis Walton, some serious
and
people.
Yes, and I was there too.
Yeah, and then I also
we consider him serious, by the way. Chris is serious.
Sometimes. Now, one of the things I was responsible to do was introduce a tinfoil hat contest. My background is civil engineering. I had 33 years with the Texas Highway Department, 3 years with an Army Engineering Battalion. So I take this very seriously, and I think it's of such importance that it needs to be taken seriously. And introducing a tinfoil hat contest didn't set well with me. But as a master of ceremonies, I was required to do that. What I'm seeing at a lot of conferences, and like you said, I mean, this has been going on for some time, but the frustration that I have with not only that, but with the politics here in Roswell between the museum and the city, I'm tired of that. And I'm going to look at the end of the year and see if maybe this is the time to hang it up.
Well, let me put the onus on you then. Would it be worth someone like you sponsoring a UFO convention? And you vet the people before they go on. I mean, this is an argument that we had with people like Steve Bassett, who came on the show, and he has these X conferences. And myself and our former co-host, we argue with him over the fact that, yeah, you've got some pretty serious people there, but then you've got people who have very extreme positions, and he basically said that doesn't matter in rather heated terms.
I think it does matter. You know, and like I say, I think they deserve a venue, and they may have some information that is of value, but I think to mix it in with the serious researchers and promoting it as a UFO conference, to me, that just doesn't set well. Maybe it's just personal with me, but that's my hang-up.
I agree totally, Dennis, and at the end of the Angel Fire conference, I sat down with Janet Saylor, who pretty much put the whole thing together, and I kind of patiently led her through the idea that, you know, you can't be all things to all people. If you have a lot of psychics and channelers and new age types, that's going to turn off your real serious UFO audience. Right. And if you have real serious UFO investigators and researchers, oftentimes that turns off the new agers and the woo-woo types. So she's trying to be all things to all people. And I said, look, you've got to decide what you want to do and who you want to be here with this conference. Right. And she nodded and said, yeah, very good. Yeah, you're right. You know, and look at the roster this year. It's even more weighted over onto the new age side. She still is trying to attract the UFO crowd by having a few speakers addressing that particular topic. And you're right, it's like oil and water, I think. There are connection points, but I think by and large, it's really doing both sides of that equation a disservice by trying to mix and mingle the two.
Yeah, I agree. I think another hang-up I have is the media. I really enjoy radio. Shows like the Paracast, and, Jerry Pippin, and some of the shows I've been on. Radio is live. Normally, there's very little editing takes place. Whereas with TV and documentaries, I've had some bad experiences with some of the TV documentary people. The National Geographic, for one, Stanton and I did several hours of taping with the National Geographic Channel several years ago. When they aired the show, the last thing that the announcer said was that Roswell was a myth.
Now, isn't it interesting, though, you'll sit there, and as you say, you'll spend hours recording something for a TV show.
And for free.
You'll get 10 seconds on the air if that.
Right. And who do they normally give the time to? They give it to the skeptics or the debunkers, and that's the ones that usually get the air time. Unlike what most people think, there's no reimbursement. There's no reimbursement for the person who has spent years and money and time doing the research. And then when it airs, I've had it go to the extreme, but they put a different question with my answer. So
you know what? That Chris had a situation like that where he spent a lot of time doing a TV show about mysteries in what, San Luis Valley, and on the TV show, Chris, it ended up being in Sedona, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it was a UFO Hunters episode on portal areas, gateway areas, window areas, however you want to define them. And I patiently led them through my theory and the formula that I used to identify these types of special areas. And, of course, every other sentence was San Luis Valley because all this, the majority of this information was gathered there in Colorado, 400 plus miles away from Sedona.
Right.
And they switched everything around and made it sound like everything I was talking about, I was referring to Sedona. And they actually took parts of three sentences to you know, reformulate a single sentence, that sort of thing. And you know, I just that's inexcusable. I really have a problem with that. I've been very lucky over the years. I've done G's 35, 40, probably TV segments. And only twice have I had you know, a real major issue with honesty and the editing process, shall we say. So, but that was inexcusable, and I just, you know, it's not right. I think the audience should be told the truth. I understand that these people are in the entertainment industry, but there has to be a line that you don't cross when it comes to honesty and actually presenting the facts the way they were intended, and that wasn't the case in my segment.
We'll pause here. We have Chris O'Brien as the co-host. Dennis Balthaser is our guest this week. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space, and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids. A novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver. The best pharmaceutical grade available at all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money-back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We're back. Chris O'Brien's the co-host. I'm Gene Steinberg. We're talking to Dennis Balthaser about, I guess, the tragic state of UFO research, UFO conventions, media coverage. Now, to be fair, you know, when you shoot a TV show, an interview, you're going to basically shoot more footage than you're going to use. Now, of course, right. It's just digital recording. But an honest editor is going to air segments that properly represent what the person has to say. Honestly do. I mean, this is what we did when I was doing broadcasting as a newscaster. And I'd go around and I would record interviews with people, or I'd record speeches, and I try to find the comments that properly represented what was going on. Yes, we have the sound bites and all that stuff, the sound bite culture, but you want to be honest about it. But if you go in there with your particular point of view, your agenda, and you say, well, we're going to find out about the mysteries in Sedona, and Chris is talking about another state, a city 400 miles away, we'll just change it. That's pathetic.
Correct. You know, most people think that we researchers get paid well for doing those things, when in fact they're 99% free, and they want all the information that we've gathered over the years to use on their program. And I'm convinced that the documentaries and the TV shows are, they have two things in mind. One is ratings, of course, and the other is profit. And I don't know that they're really concerned about factual information, because I think that's been proven over and over.
Well, that's the whole news business today.
Yeah. Of all the interviews that I've done over the years, I would say maybe five I would consider credible, which is not a very high percentage of the total number of interviews I've done. And that's why I like radio so much. I like radio, I like being able to write editorials. And I've even run into trouble with that. The MUFON Journal would take my editorials and either omit some of what I wrote because of space, they said, or they'd reword things. And, you know, when you write something, that's copyrighted. So,
well,
you
know, understandably, though, an editor is going to change something, but if it's going to change the meaning, you kind of like, I would hope, you go back to the writer and say, look, for space reasons, for whatever, grammar, spelling, I made a few changes. Is this okay? That's
no,
what my editors
that.
Used to do when I was writing technology reviews.
Yeah, they didn't do that. They just made the changes, and when it came out in the journal, I saw that it had been changed. I'll be honest, the UFO magazine has been as credible with my editorials as anybody that has used them. And I appreciate that, you know, and I appreciate when a reporter shows up at a conference and they give factual information in their report, because it doesn't
happen. How refreshing.
Pardon?
I said, how refreshing that would be.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just getting old, I guess, and cranky. But, you know, spending all this money and time, and I lose $3,000-$4,000 a year doing the research. But I think it's important. But I may have reached a point where I let somebody else do it.
Okay, so would it make sense for Dennis Balthaser to put on his own UFO convention, get the serious people, and focus and showcase that and try to get the media to see what UFO research is all about?
Well, living in Roswell, that's not a possibility. Or here in Roswell, it wouldn't be a possibility because of the control that the UFO Museum has over the city. That was proven this year.
Tell us about that. I think listeners want to hear about this. You think Roswell, that's a tourist attraction. You have an event in Roswell, it's going to attract worldwide attention. It's, you know, UFO center. So what's
right.
the problem?
Well, the problem is that a couple of years ago, the museum ran it, and attendance was down, income was down. So the city took it over 2 years ago. And, in fact, I was on the committee to help organize the festival 2 years ago. And we had two festivals. We had the museum festival, and we had the city festival, and we had big crowds. Well, we got a new mayor last year. He decided to give it back to the museum, so he gave her $150,000 in lodger's tax to run the festival this year. Over the 4-day period of the festival, I understand that the museum has something like 7,500 people. That's not a high number considering previous years. So whether they continue to run it or not, I don't know. But there was another group tried to have a conference, went to the mayor, asked for some lodger's tax, and was told that if you compete with the museum, you don't expect any money ever in the future. So we have a political situation here. The museum brings in a lot of money for Roswell. There's no doubt about it. And I'd be the first to admit that it's a vitally needed facility. But the way it's run and operated, I really question a lot of the things they do.
Well, okay, that's the other question here. Does that mean that you can't have an independent convention because of the presence of that museum and what it does?
I believe that's probably right, because it was tried this year, and they were flat told they can't do it. They can't compete with the museum. And you have other organizations here that are non-profit that should be getting some of that lodger's tax. And when you give $150,000 to one organization, I'm not sure that's completely fair either.
$150,000 is more than enough money to put on a pretty good convention. I mean, over the years, I've worked with people who've planned such events, and they were lucky to have 5 or 10,000.
Yeah, that's right. Now, I don't know that there's any accountability for that $150,000. I've not heard or seen any accountability for it. And how it was spent, I don't know. She did have good speakers. They had the same speakers they always have. Stanton, Don Schmidt, Dom Carey, those type people. But the accountability, I would question. I really would.
Sounds like a lot of people get paid over there. There's been a problem, though, between the museum and the city and investigators. I know that you've been battling some issues around this subject.
I'm banned from the museum.
Well, why don't you give us a...
You're banned.
Why don't you give us a little update,
Dennis,
on that?
Dennis, you're banned from the museum?
Yes, sir. There was a note put on the greeter's desk several years ago, which I have a copy of, saying Dennis Balthaser is not welcome at the UFO Museum, signed by Julie Schuster, the director of the museum. Don't ask me why, because I don't know why. I was with the museum from 96 to 98 as the investigator. I was on the board of directors. I was a 70-hour-a-week volunteer, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week, free, and I was told to sever my relationship. And I think the reason I was told to sever my relationship, because I didn't agree with everything they were telling people. They do not carry any books that criticize Roswell or debunk anything to do with the Roswell incident. There's a hand-selected board of directors. There's been 4 or 5 different CPAs since she took over. you either play her game or, you know, hit the highway.
Now, you're talking about CPAs. Are you intimating here we have some problem with the books over there?
I wouldn't doubt it. They bring in a tremendous amount of money. They get 150,000, 200,000 people a year come through the museum. It's a big moneymaker. And I don't know that they've ever been audited by the IRS or the Attorney General.
Is this registered as a nonprofit organization?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so they have to meet certain requirements that maybe are far tighter than just any company.
I would think so, yeah.
All right. Well, this is something I guess we can't prove here. But
I have no proof that anything is not in order, but I have a lot of doubt because I was involved for 2 years, from 96 to 98, and I've not been in the museum since probably 2000, 2001.
Is this considered a public place?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're a member of the public. Don't you have a legal right to walk over there and say, I am a member of the public, I have not done anything to cause a disturbance?
I won't give her the satisfaction of putting myself inside the museum as long as she's in charge of it. Wendy Connors and I did a oral history on her dad, on Walter Holt, several years ago. We taped him, put him on videotape for about 3 hours. He's had three different affidavits that I'm aware of, and we were told the day after he died that we could never release any of that information or discuss any conversations we ever had with her father.
And I want to ask you more about that in a moment. Dennis Balthaser is on the show. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. And if you have a comment or a question about the PowerCast, write us. News@theparacast.com. Once again, that's news@theparacast.com. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the PowerCast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
GCN listeners, why have you been hearing so much about Dermatol, the all-natural, all-purpose first aid spray? Because it's the must-have first aid product you need in your preparedness kit. Dermatol is made in America by Americans who know there's a more affordable, natural way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many other skin problems. Dermatol is gentle enough for diaper rash, powerful enough for bed sores, and harmless to the eyes and mouth. It's great for the whole family, even your family pets. Dermatol is antimicrobial, antifungal, antiviral, and not diminished by freezing, extreme heat, or years in storage. Dermatol is an absolute must for any first aid or preparedness kit. Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Order yours today. Call 800-217-6677. 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
We are back with Dennis Balthaser. The site is Truth Seeker at Roswell. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm the Paracast. And we're looking into reasons why it's possible Dennis Balthaser will give up UFO research. Okay, so tell our listeners, for those who haven't studied all the arcane Roswell lore, who was this guy you're talking about with a deathbed confession?
Walter Hall?
Yes, sir.
Walter Hawk was a public relations officer at the base in 1947, worked directly under Colonel Blanchard, the base commander and head of the 509th Bomb Wing. And when the incident happened, Colonel Blanchard called him into the office and told him to write a press release. Walter questioned the press release because what it said was that we have in our possession a flying saucer from a ranch near Roswell. That went out in all the newspaper, most newspapers west of Chicago the afternoon of July 8, 1947. And the next morning, papers east of Chicago carried the story by General Ramey that it was nothing but a weather balloon. And for many, many years, Walter said all he knew was what he wrote in that press release. Wendy Connors and I happened to be, Wendy Connors was a historical UFO researcher for many years from Albuquerque. And her and I were in the museum and heard Walter being interviewed by a French television crew in which he said he saw a body. Wendy and I both went outside and said, did you hear what I heard? And we did, and we decided we better get him on tape. So we set up a meeting with Julie, his daughter. I made up a list of questions that we were going to ask Walter. That was approved by his daughter. And we interviewed him for about 3.5 hours on videotape. And during that interview, he had a hard time remembering where he took basic training. He had a hard time with names. He couldn't remember a lot of things. And as it turned out, a few months later, he signed an affidavit saying that he did see the bodies at the hangar and a lot of other things. And as it turned out, he did not write that affidavit. Don Schmidt wrote the affidavit, and Walter just signed it.
Now, are we saying basically here that maybe Walter signed something, but he wasn't, as they say, well enough to understand what he signed?
Well, his memory improved tremendously by the time that Schmidt wrote the affidavit that he signed. Which,
you know, I think of the movie Superman Returns. At the beginning, there's a scene where the evil Lex Luthor is married to this millionaire woman who's died. By the way, the woman was played by Noel Neal, who played Superman's girlfriend, Lois Lane, in the 1950s TV series. Okay, so anyway, she dies just as she's about to sign this agreement, signing over all her money to Lex Luthor. So, of course, he takes his hand and completes the signature. So it's kind of like, almost like that, where you're basically implying here that maybe he signed something fully unaware of what it meant and what it contained.
I don't know that for a fact, but it seemed odd that during the interview that we did, he couldn't remember anything, and then he could remember everything plus some after he read or after he read and before he signed the affidavit. There's been a lot of questions about that affidavit. He had three of them, I think. one where Max Littell was the businessman involved with the three founders of the museum. And in that one, he had said that he did not know anything other than that he wrote the press release. And that was a story that he shared with the public for many years when I knew Walter really well and really liked him as a person. But I don't know about the affidavits. I think there's been a lot of questions over the years since he passed away about the validity of them.
So basically you feel that maybe he knew nothing more than that press release. He did something under orders, and that was it.
Well, he did admit on film with that French crew that he had seen a body, and then when we talked to him, he said he had seen the body in the hangar from about 25, 30 feet away, partially covered with a tarp, and it reminded him of about a 12-year-old child. He was 25, 30 feet from it. There were some stories circulating that maybe he went out to the debris field himself. We don't know for sure if he did that or not. I hate to come on and be negative, but, you know, I've got these concerns, and I wrote the editorial about it. Like I said before, I thoroughly enjoy radio because it's one-on-one and very little editing done. Most TV newscasters, when they do a story on UFOs, they will present the information, and they can't leave it alone. At the end of it, they'll have to put some amusing or sarcastic remark to take the validity away from it. And that's just part of the overall problem that I have with this research.
Okay, but going back, of course, to this particular event, let's look at what we have left of Roswell, because pretty much all the original witnesses are gone now, right?
Right.
Okay. So is there any more story to tell? How can we possibly get that information unless we find a Warehouse 13 somewhere with the bodies and all the evidence of the spaceship?
Well, I didn't attend anything this year downtown. I didn't go downtown at all during the 4 days of the festival, but I understand there was a guy at the museum who is a instructor at New Mexico Military Institute, or junior college here, military college, and that he found some metal out at the crash site near Corona and is having it tested, and he believes that it may be part of the craft. There was an archaeological dig done several years ago with the University of New Mexico archaeological team, and I was out for the last day of that. And to my knowledge, they got about 64 bags of material, but none of it has ever been made public as far as having any value as far as the crash. But this latest thing is I'm trying to follow. I don't know the guy, but I'm trying to follow up on what he has found as far as this metal and see what kind of testing he's doing.
Is that like the flexible metal that Jesse Marcel Jr. talks about?
He didn't say anything about it being flexible or not being able to burn. They were doing some isotopic testing on it, I believe, at Socorro, at the college out of Socorro, and they said it was not containing any elements really known on Earth. And he has some more testing to do on it, apparently.
Well, one thing that I remember in some of my talks with you, Dennis, is that you kind of go against the grain a little bit in terms of the Roswell case, and that this has caused some friction, I think, among other researchers. Why don't you give us a thumbnail sketch of how you differ in your particular understanding of the case versus the, you know, for lack of a better term, the company line on it? Because I know that there are some departure points there.
I think what you're talking about is I've always questioned Glenn Dennis, the mortician. He claims to have been involved in the nurse and all that at the hospital. None of the information that Glenn has ever talked about has been confirmed. The nurse has never been found. He claimed that she was shipped out the next day and to Europe and killed in a plane crash, and there's no record of a plane crash. He sent Schmidt and Randall on a wild goose chase for 5 years with the wrong name and finally admitted that it was a wrong name. I think Glenn may have been involved because he was definitely the mortician at the base, but I don't know what extent he was involved and whether it was hearsay, you know, that he heard from somebody else or what, but the red-headed captain that he talked about, nobody has found that one. And there's just no validity to any of the story that he tells. James Bond Johnson took the pictures in General Ramey's office in Fort Worth. I interviewed him before he passed away, and he had started to elaborate on his knowledge of the event. When I first talked to him, the only thing he knew was that he took the pictures of Jesse Marcel, the intelligence officer of General Ramey and Colonel DeBose, when Marcel took the material to Roswell. But he embellished his story later on in life. Walter's affidavit, of course, has always been a problem. And I think maybe that's some of the stuff you're talking about.
Yeah, so there's the nurse question, I think, has been bantered about quite a bit over the past few years. People questioning whether she was actually a real person or some sort of, I don't know, figment of somebody's imagination. I heard that that part of Dennis's story is just not held up over time.
I'm probably getting in trouble for saying this, but it's my opinion.
You're not? I mean, you're going to be getting in trouble for just about everything you've said so far, I think.
Been there and done that.
That's the Paracast for you.
I think maybe he had a relationship with his nurse, and he was married at the time, so I think maybe that has some bearing on it, that he's never going to admit to anything that will jeopardize him. Glenn is not in good shape. He's in a nursing home, I think, and I know he quit doing interviews several years ago. He had a form of Alzheimer's, and of course he's getting up in years. He's up in his 80s now, and one of the few remaining living witnesses to the event.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into so much more of this coming up. Dennis Balthaser on the Paracast. I'm Gene Steinberg. The co-host is Chris O'Brien, and you're in
the Paracast.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains their monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.